coalition forces and begin striking selected targets of military importance.
It would be a decision which could only be taken once.
There's no argument over the choice between peace and war.
Unconfirmed reports about Gaddafi being captured.
This morning, I want to talk about the future of Europe.
Burning Point.
Hello and welcome to the show. With me, Ekaterina Kudashkina. The US President Barack Obama, together with his Secretary of State John Kerry and the rest of their team, seem to be having a hard time protecting democracy on a global scale. In fact, spreading democracy is the proclaimed goal of the US foreign policy. To quote the State Department, the US seeks to promote democracy as a means to achieve security, stability, and prosperity for the entire world, end quote. This statement looks all the more confusing if we come to recall recent, well, and not so recent, American foreign policy endeavors. Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Yemen, Pakistan, now Ukraine, these and other democracy-building exercises have somehow resulted in fighting and chaos. Now, how could that happen? We're discussing the issue with our guest speaker, American economist and political analyst Paul Craig Roberts, former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury in the Reagan administration and currently the chairman of the Institute for Political Economy in the United States.
I think I can answer that for you. The main problem is what is known in the United States as the Wolfowitz Doctrine. That's after Paul Wolfowitz, Wolfowitz. He is a leading neoconservative theorist. He's held almost every important position in the Pentagon, from, assistant secretary to undersecretary to deputy secretary. He formulated the basis for American foreign policy. And that basis is that with the Soviet collapse, there are no external restraints on the use of American power. And he takes a very beneficial, benevolent view toward the use of American power and says that since this use is so beneficial to the world and it's so benevolent, that the United States must prevent the rise of any other country that could serve as a check on the exercise of American power. He specifically mentions Russia and says that under no circumstances can the United States tolerate Russia rising to power similar to that held by the Soviet Union. He says that Russia is a large country and has the potential of controlling sufficient resources to be a stumbling block to American hegemony over the world. So when the doctrine was formulated, the main target of American foreign policy was Russia, that is, to prevent the rise of Russian influence. But the doctrine also is being applied currently to China. So, in effect, United States foreign policy has committed the country to preventing the rise of Russia and China, preventing them from having sufficient influence or power to limit America's ability or Washington's ability to determine the behavior of countries in the world. So that is the main problem right there, the Wolfowitz Doctrine. It is similar, though more extreme, to the doctrine that Brzezinski, who was the national security advisor for President Carter, and Brzezinski's doctrine is similar and also spells out Russia. But the Wolfowitz Doctrine is the one that is now the basis for American foreign policy. Now, there are subsidiary reasons that attach to this foreign policy doctrine. One is the material interest of the military security complex. In the United States, the largest economic sector is the military security sector. It absorbs $1 trillion annually. To have budget expenditures of that magnitude, $1,000 billion, requires threats and requires enemies and requires dangers. And this sector initially faced difficulties with the Soviet collapse and the end of the Cold War. And that's one of the reasons for the Clinton administration attacking Serbia. And it was one of the reasons for the war on terror. But these wars were of insufficient magnitude and hard to acquire success against these Muslims, that the decision has been made that Russia is a good target and they can create a new Cold War around a Russian threat. And so the military security complex has a great interest that is served by this foreign policy. Their material interest, it solves any worries they had about budget reductions, because how can you cut the budget of the military security complex when you have this dangerous Russian threatening everybody with invasion? So that, and of course, this military security complex has many media connections and can keep this type of story alive.
Our guest speaker is Paul Craig Roberts, an assistant secretary of the Treasury in the Reagan administration and currently the chairman of the Institute for Political Economy in the U.S.
Burning point.
A third strong influence is that Washington and the energy industry are very interested in controlling not just energy supplies, but energy routes. They want the routes that energy uses to go from the producer to the user to be under Washington's influence or control. They don't like routes that are independent of Washington's influence and control. And so this is also part of the trouble in Ukraine and the trouble that Washington is causing for the Russian pipeline that would go under the Black Sea into Bulgaria. And it also, I think, relates to troubles in Iran, because there are alternative ways energy can be delivered, alternative routes. And Washington wants to make certain that those routes, or as many of them as possible, are under Washington's control and are not independent of Washington's influence. So that is the explanation. There, no doubt there are probably other reasons that I'm unaware of, but I think there you have the three biggest. The overall, the one that determines everything, is the Wolfowitz Doctrine, and then that doctrine allows the military security complex and the control over energy supplies and energy routes, they are subsumed under the foreign policy doctrine. If you didn't have the foreign policy doctrine, you would still have those other two interests working against Russia, but they wouldn't have the same power or force. But when all those three come together, it is a very powerful drive which can very easily create dynamics that result in war. And that is my main concern and the reason that I try to expose this and to counteract it.
In that kind of war, there's going to be no winners, right?
Right. Yeah, that's my view, because I don't think either the United States or Russia or China, neither side, could afford to lose the war. So that means it's likely to go nuclear. And I don't think the United States has any prospects whatsoever of defeating Russia or China in conventional military ways. The countries are too vast, and their militaries are too strong. And from what we have seen of the effectiveness of American conventional military, it's not very effective. It's effective against women and children and farmhouses and kids' soccer games and village elders. But it couldn't even defeat a few lightly armed Taliban after 13 years. Of course, neither could the Red Army.
This is the first part of the Burning Point, focused on the U.S. foreign policy and somewhat chaotic outcome of the U.S. democracy building efforts. Our guest speaker is Paul Craig Roberts, an assistant secretary of the Treasury in the Reagan administration and currently the chairman of the Institute for Political Economy in the U.S.
The fact is, if the United States was engaged in conventional warfare at such great distances from the United States, the supply routes, the logistic problems, and with countries as large as Russia and China, particularly with the population of China, And these countries are well equipped with modern arms. They're not Iraq or Libya. So I don't think the United States would have any prospect of prevailing in that kind of war on conventional terms. And so it would go nuclear. And we would all be dead because of this stupid Wolfowitz doctrine, which is an expression of unbridled arrogance and hubris. And it's akin, it's almost the direct copy of the Nazi doctrine, that they are the Übermensch and everybody else is the Untermensch, that they are above everyone. And in the United States, this is expressed as we are the exceptional, indispensable country and people. And when you have that view, it means you regard other peoples as dispensable and unexceptional. In other words, they don't have your standing, and therefore you have a right to prevail. So the Wolfowitz doctrine itself comes back to the neoconservative ideology that dominates American politics. It dominated, it came in the second Clinton regime, it dominated the two terms of George W. Bush, and it has dominated the Obama administration. If you look at the appointees in the Bush and Obama administrations, they are almost universally neoconservative.
Sir, thank you so much. And just to remind you, our guest speaker was Paul Craig Roberts, American economist and political analyst, and Assistant Secretary of the Treasury in the Reagan administration, currently the chairman of the Institute for Political Economy in the United States. And we're proceeding to discuss the issue with our next guest speaker, Lyndon LaRouche, who is one of the most experienced American analysts and also the founder and director of Executive Intelligence Review Press Service.
Burning Point.
What makes me surprised, you know, is that whenever the current U.S. administration, whenever they step in, they create chaos. Is it a deliberate effect or is it a mistake?
It's a British Empire effect.
What's that?
The British Empire runs the whole operation.
Is it their purpose to create chaos?
That's it, exactly it.
What's their interest?
They control it.
Is it a realistic project to control chaos?
It is. It's absolutely, it's an intentional program to crush everything in sight. And this is what this is about. And what we're dealing with is trying to figure out, on the one hand, how to deal with this kind of threat and with a minimum risk. That's our problem. And when I look at what faces Putin, for example, in terms of what he has to do from day to day, that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the factor of risk. He's constantly dealing with the question of risk, and it's a complicated situation, which means that he has to be constantly managing on risk. But the positive thing is he's got China, he's got India, he represents these things. And in the process, when this thing is cleared, when the smoke is cleared, we're going to find there's going to be a new planet or something that functions like a new planet, because the old ways are going to go, and they are going to go fast. I'm just waiting for us to get there.
Well, and just to remind you, that was Lyndon LaRouche, one of the most experienced American analysts and the founder and director of Executive Intelligence Review Press Service. But we're going to proceed with this subject and this discussion in the second part of our show, in which we're going to talk about President Obama's foreign policy and the emergence of a new world order. And now we end the first part of Burning Point, brought to you by me, Ekaterina Kudoshkina. Thank you so much for staying with us. Goodbye, and take care.